Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Giant Take Podcast. My name is Josh and I am joined by my friend and my co-host Alex. We are here joining you after our recap on Tuesday of Monday Night Football. So you get Giant Take preview a little quicker turnaround than you normally would another time when we had a game on Sunday. The episode would come out Monday and then it would come out the end of the week on Friday. I didn't need to run through that. I'm sure everyone understood what I meant, but just had to give a little description there. What's going on? So only 3 days of a wait until our preview instead of four. However, I guess with the time period comes something a little upsetting. It's not going to end the episode of everything, but no guests this week after we had back-to-back guests the last 2 weeks. But that's okay because I know everyone listening just wants to hear Alex and I's opinions of everything Giants. I'm sure that's exactly what it is. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, hopefully we'll get another one. I guess, for upcoming weeks throughout the season. But anyway, Alex, my friend, my co-host, heading into the weekend now, one more day to go. I know for you, it's your busiest day on Friday of classes. For me, I wouldn't say it's my... Yeah, no, it is my lightest. It's a three-hour lab, but it's still one class. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's been a rough recovery here, obviously, with the Giants, you know, getting blown out on Monday Night Football. I don't expect anything too different, this upcoming week against the Dolphins. Dolphins, obviously a great team, a really, really high scoring offense, a really, powerful offense running and passing the ball. So it's going to be a tough matchup. It's going to be a tough game for the Giants. And, we knew this coming in. That's why we're so adamant on how important the Seattle game was. And now we're, staring at, 2 weeks in a row now of AFC East, really good teams in the Dolphins and Bills. Obviously, the Bills on Sunday Night Football next week, which they still haven't flexed out. I'm praying they flex that out. But not a great week in terms of Giants fandom. But I'm not even going to say I'm optimistic. I'm just praying that the Giants do something in this game. If that resonates with people.
I think it's time where we can go into the news and then we'll talk about a few different things throughout this news segment. One specifically, but some piece of news that I want to add in here about the Miami Dolphins. We had Don Wake Martindale, which Alex, I'll have you actually play the clip now just to start out this podcast. Don Wake Martindale talks about how he's feeling going into this Dolphins game. So we'll let you take a listen real quick.
Wink, when you see a team, this is 2 weeks ago, obviously, with Miami, but when you see a team put 70 points up on another team as a defensive coordinator, what's your reaction to that? It just doesn't happen very often.
Well, my wife called me last night
before she went to bed. She said she was worried about me. She said, "You get any sleep?" I said, "Yeah, I'm sleeping like a baby. Every 2 hours I wake up and cry and go to the bathroom and try to go back and get some more sleep." That's unbelievable.
And yeah, so Don Wing Maranda, you know, a little bit of a jokester. We'll see how much jokes he's putting up during postgame after the Giants get 50 bombed. But we'll have to wait and see, you know, not trying to be too, upset at him for that. At least he's having a little fun. I didn't know, again, that you could be so happy and exciting when your team only has one win on the season. But that's all right. Cracking a little jokes about how the Dolphins put up 70 points in, a couple games ago. But, he's sleeping like a baby and he'll be ready for Sunday. So we'll have to wait and see about that. Okay, let's go into the actual news now. Starting off with the Giants. No team since it has become a stat has allowed more sacks in their first two home games than the 18 that the Giants allowed this season. The Giants signed veteran offensive lineman Justin Pugh to the practice squad. You might recognize that name. He was a first-round pick for the Giants years ago. He actually worked out with the team when they were in Arizona. Giants liked what they saw, wanted to kind of do a wait-and-see mode on a short week when they did Thursday Night Football against the 49ers. They now have decided to sign him. Again, it's to the practice squad, but sign him there. He's coming off a torn ACL, and we'll have to see how many weeks it takes him to get to full strength. And wonder, once he gets to full strength, will the Giants promote him to that active roster if they still continue to have those struggles with people staying healthy on the offensive line? It's more just Andrew Thomas. And let's talk about Andrew Thomas and the other players for this team. Alex is going to go more into the injury reports when we get to that point. But for now, I'll just say that Wednesday, running back Saquon Barkley with his ankle injury did some team reps for the first time since the injury occurred. We also had Andrew Thomas did not practice, and he's leaning towards no, in quotes. That was from Brian Daboll on Wednesday talking to the media. Not a good situation once again for the Giants offensive linemen. And continuing with the offensive line issues, I said it's mostly just Andrew Thomas because he's the most important person on that offensive line, but also rookie center JMS with a shoulder injury and Shane Lemieux with a groin injury did not practice Wednesday. They actually got injured, I believe, on the same exact play on Monday Night Football against the Seahawks. So it's just unfortunate stuff for this offensive line all around. Alex, I'll send it to you now. If you have any opinions on those things or if you want to just continue with the news updates, feel free to do that as well.
Yeah, I'll touch on more about that when we get to the full injury report section and kind of talk about what I'm thinking regarding the offensive line. But I guess we'll just continue on right now before that. So the Giants are actually going back to rookie Eric Gray as the punt returner on Sunday per Brian Daboll. Gray obviously muffed the punt in this past game against the Seahawks. They then turned to Adoree Jackson to return punts, which never, ever made sense. Especially with Sterling Shepard on the roster, who really wasn't getting any snaps at receiver, so why not put him back there? He's not, our number one receiving option anymore, so it doesn't really, there's not as great of a risk as there is with, say, someone like Adoree Jackson, who is probably, a top three most valuable player on our defense, at least currently, and the most valuable secondary player on our defense for sure. So it just never made sense, and he was just fair catching and letting balls around, bounce into the ends. It was just bad. So, they need a new punt returner. They need a proper returner, kick returner, punt returner. Eric Gray is not really great at either because he's really not that quick. So he's not quick, really. He's not super agile. And that's kind of what you're looking for in a returner and someone who has safe hands. And Eric Gray, as we have seen with, what now, two muff punts, one that counted and one that didn't. He does not have great hands. So I don't really understand why they are going with him. It would make a lot more sense to go with Sterling Shepard. Yes, he doesn't have that burst that he used to have, but he is still, an agile player. He's got safe hands. I think he would make a much better punt returner, kick returner, whatever it may be. That's just my thoughts on that. And then this is the big news of the week and probably what we're going to spend the most time talking about. Evan Neal, my God, Evan Neal, what have you done? So Evan Neal, what was it? I guess it was last night when we're recording this, Wednesday night. There was an article that came out. It was Daryl Slater, right, Josh?
Daryl Slater of NJ Advanced Media, yeah.
NJ Advanced Media. And he had an article. He did an interview with Neal, and Neal really messed up. Let's just say that. We're only going to read a couple of the quotes here because it's kind of just repetitive, same thing. But the main two that like everyone was talking about, he said, "Why would a lion concern himself with the opinion of a sheep?" And then the person that's commenting on my performance, what does he do? Flip hot dogs and hamburgers somewhere? ? Which is obviously both of those a diss at the fans, you know, calling them sheep and obviously kind of looking down on the hot dog and hamburger flippers of the world. I don't know how many Giants fans fall under that category, but those who are probably are quite offended. And Neil was obviously forced to apologize this morning, Thursday morning. And he said, "I am wrong for la-" This was on a notes. I got to clear this up. This was on a like Apple notes thing. And he like took a screenshot and posted it to his Twitter and Instagram. He said, "I am wrong for lashing out at the fans who are just as passionate and frustrated as I am. I let my frustrations in my play plus desire to win get the best of me. I had no right to make light of anyone's job, and I deeply regret the things I said. We are working day in and day out as a team, and this was an unnecessary distraction. I apologize." And what I find really crazy about this is Neil said, you know, the flipping hot dogs and hamburgers somewhere, right? Really, you know, I guess poking fun of the, you know, like more working class Americans, if that makes sense. And if you watch during preseason, Josh, I think you saw this. I think most Giants fans who watch preseason saw this. At halftime, they were doing some sort of like they did like a little like profile, player profile on a couple of players. I think they did Darius Slayton and then they did Evan Neal. And in Evan Neal's profile, which I didn't know, you know, he went back to his hometown in Florida and he grew up along with his father, who still runs it today, running a convenience store, which is, I'd say, pretty, you know, working class American, if that makes sense. So it's kind of crazy that this quickly he could go out and make a comment about that. Yes, he's now a multimillionaire as the 7th overall pick in last year's draft, but it's just crazy to me how quick, you know, something like that can change. So very interesting comments, very bad comments, obviously, and good that he did apologize, but it's going to be tough for him to overcome this unless he really starts performing better. And it's particularly ironic considering how bad he has played pretty much all season. So overall, just a really bad thing. And I think I had a comment here. Hold on. Saquon Barkley actually commented today in open locker room about Evan Neal's advice or advice to Evan Neal about this, you know, about these comments. And he said, "Never pick a battle with the fans. You're never going to win that one. They've been here before and they're going to be here after us." And I think that's the best way to say it. And the fans do pay his multi-million dollar salary. So maybe those hot dogs and burgers, he really should hope they keep flipping them.
So I'm not going to go on like a Don McGregor rant that I'm sure most Giants fans saw yesterday on ESPN. Michael
I would
K
say
show.
That was crazy, though. That was a little bit overdue. I think that was a little bit disrespectful.
I don't know if this... Listen, freedom of speech, right? Like, if Evan Neal's going to go out and say fans are flipping hot dogs and burgers, I think Don LaGreca has every right to go. That's also his MO, Alex. You don't really know Don LaGreca that well. He's known for rants about that type of stuff. That's just kind of what he does. He flips out on callers from time to time, too. You can... I know you have more comments. You're still...
I feel like there's a difference between saying, like, what are they doing, flipping hot dogs and burgers and calling someone a piece of human trash or whatever he said, a piece of human garbage or whatever. So I think there's a little bit of a difference there. But, yes, I understand the people who are defending him and say it's okay. And I also understand the people who are kind of more on my side saying
no
really
one's
should
defending
be saying that.
No one's defending him. Oh, defending Don LaGreca.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about defending Evan Neal. No one's defending Evan Neal.
No one's defending Evan Neal.
Stupid. Okay, so anyway. Yeah. So, I was about to say, I'm not going to go on a Don LaGreca rant. Alex took the chill route of it. I wouldn't say I'm going to go on a rant per se. Let's see how it goes. All right, I'll start off by saying this. So, Daryl Slater, as a journalist would, is probably going for his one-on-one with Evan Neal to just see how he's, like, see how it's going, right? Daryl Slater probably asked a question to Neal regarding the fans and them booing him on Monday night, along with the team, by the way. It wasn't just him. It was the team, because the team's been performing not like Giants fans expected them to, worse than they expected them to. So he asked him, "What do you think of the fans?" Evan Neal proceeds to go out of his way to say this stuff, right? So this isn't something that I want to preface this, right? Because Slater is not going in here like being all pushy, like, what, like, why are you so upset? Like, tell me exactly how you feel. Like, obviously, he's like, what is your response to the fans booing? But Evan Neal proceeds to go out of his way, make a stupid analogy that doesn't make any sense, because why would a lion concern itself with the opinion of a sheep? Why would a sheep concern itself with the opinion of a lion? It just doesn't make sense. So first of all, pick a different animal, okay? If you're going to do one of those, you can't do a freaking sheep. Do a gazelle or something that a lion's going to actually eat. You never have stories. You never watch a National Geographic documentary where a sheep is getting eaten by a lion. So first of all, Evan Neal, I don't know what education you're getting in Alabama. Well, we're not going to talk about Alabama education right now, but let's just say for football players, it's not the toppest of tiers. So I'm not surprised that analogy was super bad. Anyway, second thing, we're going at the burger flipping hot dogs. And Alex, I know you made the joke about like the Giants fans who are the community that are those people who are flipping hot dogs and burgers. Obviously, he's going at the route of saying that everyone that's not playing football is below him. And that's where I go on LaGreca's side and all Giants fans that are upset at him side, because he's saying just because he's professional at this sport, it's a job. It's all a job. You know, obviously some jobs you get paid more than others. And he's saying that, you know, maybe what you would get minimum wage for flipping hot dogs and hamburgers, they value them less. He values them less. They're flipping hamburgers and hot dogs somewhere. Yeah, I'm over here making millions of dollars as a football player. That's great. You're making money at a job, because at the end of the day, that's what it is. You're getting paid to play football, and congratulations to you. So you're better than everyone else because you play a professional sport. What does that have to do with anything? Like, that's where it annoys me. And like you said, Alex, those Giants fans who are flipping hot dogs and hamburgers in the parking lot that they pay $50 to fucking sit in, excuse my language, in the seats that they have to pay for, the season tickets that they spend thousands of dollars on to watch you shit the bed once again and miss tackles left and right. Defensive tackles, I'm saying. Because then they end up going in the backfield and tackling our quarterback or our running back. It pains me to say this, because if this is different, if it's like Daniel Jones or Saquon Barkley, but this guy's in his second year and all he's done in the NFL so far is absolutely sucked as a player. He's sucked. I mean, you're laughing right now on mute, Alex. I mean, we're watching each other's facial reactions. I mean, you could back me up on this. What has Evan Neal done right in the NFL so far? Maybe had one good game? Maybe?
No. He doesn't have a big leg to stand on, I think, is what you're trying to say, and I would agree.
So, at that point, you're coming at the fans who are paying your salary, sitting in the seats, paying for the season tickets, and tailgating with those flippings of the hot dogs and hamburgers and the $50 that they have to pay for to even just park in MetLife Stadium. But let's go at them. That's it. That's all I have. I didn't mean to drop the F-bomb there. It just kind of came out. So I apologize for that, because, you know, that's Giant take of old, where we just kind of let stuff fly like that. I feel like we tried to clean up our act a little bit, which I didn't do there. So I'm sorry about that. But, it's just like, he's just stupid for that. It's stupid. I don't even know why you would do such a thing. It's dumb.
When you come to the New York market, you can't get away with stuff like that. Like, all it takes is one, just like, you lose it. Like, you lose your cool once, and this is what happens, you know? Like, and it's going to be bad for him. Unless he picks up his play dramatically, it's not going to be a good career in New York for him. Let's just say that. So that's a problem. And honestly, when I first read the quote, I could not believe my eyes. It was Evan Neal. I still can't get over this. Like, why would a lion concern himself with the opinion of a sheep? If you told me, if someone said, why would a lion concern himself with the opinion of a sheep? I would have guessed 1,000% it was Kayvon Thibodeau. Evan Neal probably would have been like the last guy I would have guessed. And I think that's probably the most shocking and really what's made such an uproar for Giants fans, because of how shocking it is. Yeah. And, it, you know, he's got to handle himself better in the New York media here. And, you know, you can't lose your cool. You got to, like, block everything out. And trust me, it's easier said than done. But that's why he's getting paid millions of dollars, not only to play football, but also to conduct himself properly in the media landscape in New York.
I have two more things. One thing is, first, yeah, he's so quiet, so I don't understand that. My first thing is, he also said boo louder, mind you. That was the headline of the NJ.com article by Daryl Slater. That's another thing he said. So,
which they will.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's asking for it. He wants them to boo louder. That's what he's saying. So it's all coming in the next time the Giants come to MetLife Stadium and he makes any mistake, it's done. It's done. Like, that's one. And then two, Evan Neal, you might be a millionaire now swimming in money, but I'll tell you right now, if you want to come for those people who are flipping those hot dogs and hamburgers, give it another season. Maybe two if the Giants continue. But if you want to keep up these poor performances, missing, you know, where you're supposed to block and things of that nature, you know, like the thing like that entails with your job. Like the, so you know how you like look down on everyone else's jobs in the working class because you're a professional athlete? So you're an offensive tackle. You're supposed to block the people going to the quarterback and the running back. Yeah, so you're not even doing your own job. So I don't know why you're coming at other people for doing their jobs. Because you gotta fix your job first. Make sure you're doing it correctly before you come at other people, I think, for doing their job wrong, doing their jobs wrongly. And, you know, maybe a couple more seasons of you messing up this bad, and you can end up flipping those burgers and hot dogs since you love it so much and you want to name drop those people. How about that, Evan Neal? How about that? Maybe. Maybe I'll see you in the drive-thru. In a couple of years. Who knows?
So as you can see, there is varying levels of anger of Giants fans regarding this topic.
I'm surprised you're like not as... You like took it way like very level-headed.
Honestly, I think he made a mistake. I don't think he intentionally like... I don't think he thought through it. I think I'm not saying anything bad on Daryl Slater, but I'd have to imagine there was something that kind of ticked him off. That must have. And that's good journalism, obviously. I'm not saying like anything in particular. I'm just saying like he doesn't seem like the type of guy who he really must be something like, whether it's the booing really impacts him or something that made him come out of his shell, right? Because he's not this type of guy. So that's why I'm taking it lightly. I'm a little bit confused still, almost, I can say. A little bit shocked. I'm still in shock. So I'm kind of trying to figure out what's going on. So I'm like, I'm not angry yet because I don't really, like, I understand what happened, but I can't fully grasp it, if it makes sense.
Well, Coach Brian Daboll had something to say about it. He said that he thought Neal was, quote, remorseful, regretful for the comments that he made. We're moving on, in his press conference today on Thursday. And then Jordan Ronan asked Daboll about if the, quote, poor choice, poor decision, poor comments, as Daboll called it, would lead to any discipline. And he said, quote, I'm just going to say my conversations with Evan will be private. Because mind you, when that Daryl Slater thing came out, I'm sure Pat Hanlon or someone on the Giants staff went right up to Neal and was like, you need to apologize right now. And I find that in general, when it comes to any celebrities, you know, whether it's their assistant or what is it called, like their publicist, when the apologies are clearly not done or even thought about by the person themselves, it's not a real apology. Alex, I think you completely agree. So if...
But it was in his notes app, Josh.
Yeah, exactly. So if this apology came from anyone in the Giants staff, anyone in Neal's family, anyone that Neal is, you know, his agent or something like that, that's not a real apology because it did not come from Neal. It wasn't him sitting in his, you know, in his penthouse suite or whatever it is, sitting down being like, oh, shoot, I made a mistake. I have to fix it. Let me at least apologize and go from there. You know he didn't do that. I don't find that apology sincere at all or remorseful or anything that Daboll... You think it was him out of his own volition? No one telling him to do so. No Pat Hanlon intervention, no agent intervention, no uncle calling him up being like, listen, bro, you made a mistake. You think it was just him?
You don't know. You're just assuming. If you're giving me my best guess, I would agree with you. But you're also assuming something that we just don't know, to be fair.
I would hope, Alex, I would hope that if it was in Evan Neal's own mind to apologize, that it would be a little bit better than that was. But that just looks like the fakest thing. It was in the notes app, Alex. It was written in the notes app. Come on. You're telling me that was... If I'm apologizing for something and it's actually coming from me and not my agent saying you need to apologize as quick as possible, I'll tell you right now, it's not something I'm typing in my notes app, screenshotting and just saying, all right, F it. Let's throw it on the story.
To be honest, that makes it seem almost more like he did it himself. Because if it was more public, like, you know, like trimmed up and like, you know, it was used, it was more casual language too, the way his grammar and stuff in it. So generally, it wasn't something that, it didn't seem like some, but then of course it could be made to look like that too, right? So anyway, it doesn't really matter too much at the end of the day. You know, it's just a very bad look for Evan Neal, and he's going to have to step up here on the field, right? Because next 2 weeks, he has the best two games of his life. No Giants fan will remember this. But if he continues along the trajectory, we forget real quick when we start winning, Josh. We do. We forget real quick.
I don't think we'll forget this. I will talk to you right now. If the Giants win these next two games and Evan Neal blocks every person.
They won't. But
every defender that comes against him, by the way, because now you know that it's getting put in the notes app any time now that Evan Neal misses a block for the rest of the season at this point after this comment.
Can the notes app even fit all that or no?
Right.
Does it have unlimited storage? Or?
Let's go to the injury report.
All right. So the Giants injury report, it is the same for Wednesday and Thursday. So I'm just going to read through it once and you can obviously realize that it is the same. So Shane Lemieux, guard, has a groin injury. He didn't practice either day. JMS with the shoulder did not practice either day. Andrew Thomas, hamstring, did not practice either day. And then limited participants, Saquon Barkley with an ankle, Daniel Bellinger, knee, Gary Brightwell, ankle, Marcus McKeithen, knee, Azeez Ojulari, hamstring, Evan Neal, hand/ankle/media fallout, Wandell Robinson, knee, and Micah McFadden, ankle. And then the Dolphins, we only have Wednesday for them, unfortunately. Teron Armstead, a tackle, he was out, did not practice with a back, ankle, and knee injury. I believe he is being ruled out, so he will not be playing against the Giants. Tua's blindside protector, I'm pretty sure. Justin Bethel, corner, had a rest day. Raheem Mostert also had a vet rest day. And then limited participants for them, Braxton Berrios with a knee, Lester Cotton, a guard, with an ankle, Deshaun Elliott, safety, groin, Robert Jones, guard, knee, Nick Needham, defensive back, Achilles, Jalen Phillips, linebacker, oblique, Connor Williams, O-line, groin, Salvin Ahmed, running back, groin, and Robert Hunt, guard, knee injury. Ahmed and Robert Hunt were both full participants with those injuries. Sorry about that. And yeah, I think before we get into our score predictions for the NFL games, our score predictions for the Giants games, our players to watch, let's take a quick break.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, let's go to one of our favorite times here on the Giant Take podcast, and it's our NFL picks. Let's recap last week. I guess for me, it's not one of our favorite times so far this season because I keep on losing to Alex every single week, and it's just another one of the same. This week, Alex went 12-3. I went 10-5, and 12-3 is super impressive. 10-5 is not bad either, but I just keep on losing to him, so we'll have to see how this week goes. I believe there's only three toss-up games between each other this week. Besides that, we are very similar, actually the same in mostly.
Two, actually.
It's only two toss-ups?
Yeah.
Between the both of us? Okay, so then this week is huge. You know, those two toss-up games are really going to come up big, just like last week. I mean, it was a two-score differential. So if those go my way, I'm back in it. We'll have to wait and see. But Alex, I'll let you start off with the 1 o'clock and Thursday Night Football, which is in a few hours.
All right, Thursday Night Football. We've got Bears-Commanders, the matchup of the century. Real great that Prime spent $1 billion on these matchups. We both have the Commanders Bills, Jaguars in London, Sunday morning, full day of football this weekend. We both have the Bills, Saints, Pats. We both have the Saints, Colts, Titans. One of our differences, I've got the Colts. Josh has the Titans, Ravens, Steelers. We both have the Ravens, Panthers, Lions. We both have the Lions, Texans, Falcons. We both have the Texans. And then I will send it to Josh for the 4 o'clock games.
As the sirens ring out in Boston, I will take over from here. Luckily, perfect timing, I guess. Bengals versus Cardinals, both of the Bengals winning that one. Eagles versus Rams, both of the Eagles winning there. Jets versus Broncos, you both have the Jets winning that game, and it'll be embarrassing for the Jets, honestly, if they don't after how well they played against the Chiefs last week. And then, speaking of the Chiefs, it's Chiefs versus Vikings, and the Chiefs, we have them winning there. This is a toss-up game that I'm surprised we didn't split on. I think we were just hoping that they don't win. Cowboys versus Niners on Sunday Night Football. That's a really great game to watch, and obviously we'll be watching pretty intently as the two best teams in the NFC, and I really believe that, match up against each other. We have the 49ers winning
game. No. You think the Cowboys are better than the Eagles? Come on.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's
it. If the Eagles and the Cowboys played right now, the Eagles would win by like 20 points, I think.
Oh, would they? Would they, Alex?
I think so.
Okay. Well, get ready because we're going to find that out as the season progresses because I'm sure they're going to play each other at some point. Did you know that both teams are in the NFC East and they actually do play each other? That game is going to happen on November 5th, so you can keep your mouth shut.
A month from today.
You can keep your mouth shut until they play each other, and then when they lose by 20 points to the Cowboys, I'll say that I'm right.
Cowboys? No way.
Packers versus Raiders is your Monday Night Football matchup. I like it. And then one of our two splits here as well. Alex, the Packers. I have the Raiders winning this game, and we're going to scroll back up here in our outline and go to the players to watch. I'll start with the Dolphins player. I know it's the boring selections I've had the past couple weeks.
Both your selections are basic, let's be honest here.
I think I had Geno Smith last week for the Seahawks, and I'm sticking with the quarterback this week because there are separate players in each of these. Geno Smith, there's the good and the bad, and then I think Tua Tagovailoa, it's the same thing. Are we going to see the good Tua, or are we going to see, Alex, you can take it away now, so I'm going to give you the floor to say it.
Tua turned the ball over?
There we go. Are we going to see the Tua that throws 1-2 interceptions in this game? We're going to have to wait and see. Or do we have the Tua 20 for 25, 300 yards and 3 touchdowns game with Tyreek Hill connecting every single time? We'll have to wait and see. But that's who my Dolphins player to watch is. My Giants player to watch, as Alex says, the two basic guys. However, he's not so basic because if he doesn't play, then there's just nothing. There's no qualification for him. It's Saquon Barkley. If he plays, how will he recover from the ankle injury? Is there going to be a limited snap count on him? These are things, the questions we want the answers to. Hopefully he does play on Sunday. We know Saquon. He's struggled with lower body injuries before. He struggled with high ankle sprains before. It's nothing new for this Giants team and for Saquon Barkley. But how does he play in this game, specifically coming back from this ankle injury of 2023? And that's my two players to watch.
All right, starting with my Dolphins player to watch, I've got Devon Achain, I think is how you say it. He came out and like got mad at people because they were mispronounced. They kept saying Achain. It's Achain. Devon Achain. He is currently averaging 11.4 yards per carry, which is by far the most in the NFL. I believe the next one up is Christian McCaffrey with about 5 yards per carry. So he is immense right now. He is going off. Of course, I dropped him in my fantasy league, so that's probably why he's going off now. And the Giants cannot stop the run for their lives, and Devon Achain, at this current time, is pretty much unstoppable on the ground. He's so quick. He's so agile. And those are the type of running backs that the Giants have really struggled with so far this season, and you know, even last season. So that's going to be a really difficult matchup. And then on the defensive side of the ball for the Giants, my player to watch is Azeez Ojulari. He was back last week. He looked really good. He looked really sharp. His bend was good. He was really quick off the line of scrimmage. He got a whole bunch of pressures. I think he had 8 pressures in that game. Almost got a couple of sacks. And I'm hoping he can kind of build off that. No Armstead, like we mentioned, the all-pro tackle for the Dolphins. Can Azeez Ojulari and even Kayvon Thibodeau, obviously, to an extent, take advantage of that. And those are my two players to watch. And then score prediction time. This is not a fun time in this episode. I've been optimistic. The optimism has ended. I'm sad. I'm pessimistic. I'm Josh now. I'm going with a 30-13 Dolphins victory. And I think that's being quite optimistic, to be completely honest.
Yeah, Alex, I wanted to say we talk all this episode about we're previewing the game, Giants versus Dolphins, what's going to happen. We go all to the, you know, we talk about everything to this point of what's the score going to actually be. And mind you, I would say a good half, if not more than that, was actually more talking about Evan Neal's comments than previewing this game. But that's okay, because when you have a losing team playing a winning team, you know, there's not much to preview because you think you know how it's going to go. And if the Giants want to surprise us and flip that script, I'd love it. Although I think we'll be sitting back and talking about a 32-10 Dolphins win on Sunday night. And that's my score prediction, a little higher than Alex, although we both have the Dolphins cracking over 30. Alex is 30 on the dot. And Alex, I want to ask you, is that 13 from a touchdown in there? Do we have a touchdown?
I think we do. I think it's 30-6, and then at the last second, we get an Eric, I can't even say this seriously, Eric Gray punt return touchdown. What do you think?
Oh, okay. I love it. That's great. I mean, I also have a touchdown. I have a touchdown and a field goal. I was really considering only putting field goals on the board there because the Giants, again, haven't scored that many touchdowns this year besides the Arizona Cardinals, which is not something to flex. So, we'll have to wait and see if they do get a touchdown this weekend, or maybe more than one. That would be pretty insane for this year's Giants team, if you ask me. Although, that is the point of football, if you didn't know. For all you Giants fans that are kind of forgetting the idea of how the NFL works, you want to get a lot of points. That's something that this Giants team has not been able to do. But what we've been able to do is produce content for you a lot, so please help us out and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening. Drop that 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Go on YouTube, hit that subscribe button if you want to watch our recaps, as well as our interviews get posted on there. So if you want, you know, you're more of a visual learner like myself and you want to kind of watch our interviews and our post-game shows there, feel free to watch them on YouTube. Social media platforms, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, The Giant Take Pod. Alex on Twitter at AnorA23. I'm on Twitter at JoshOlo29. And I think I got most of everything, so I'll send it to my co-host to wrap this one up.
I just want to say great transition back there, Josh. I was so super impressed. And
You're not supposed to mention it. If it's so good, you don't say anything.
No, I needed to. I can't help myself. And what I would say, you mentioned YouTube. It's going to be fantastic to see our very depressed faces on Sunday afternoon. So I definitely, you know, tune in. So
make sure
go.
To add that one in there. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everyone, for listening to today's episode. No, it's been a rough week. Maybe a rough weekend, but enjoy football this weekend. We got a full day on Sunday, right, with the London game. So enjoy that, and we'll see you post-Dolphins. I can't even say this seriously, hopefully, after a Giants win. Peace.